Hello there, good morning, welcome to Spirit of the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. I want to say something to you before we start. You've probably heard Hurricane Irma is heading toward Florida right now. You turn on the news, you look on the internet, wherever you go, there's the threat of something. I want you to put that aside for the next hour at least, and together, let's remember that no matter what happens in the world, God is in charge. And with that in mind, let's begin this show in prayer, thanking God for giving us another day, and also remembering that He can do all things, and I mean all things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to a new day. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You created us because you love us. We thank you for that. Father, you have given us this day because you have plans for us. Help us to know what those plans are. Help us to go out into the world or do whatever we can from where we are to bring light into the darkness, to show others your love. Father, help us with our problems. So many times we worry about the things in our lives. We worry about the things that are taking place around the world. Instead, we should bring them to you and say, Father, help us. So here we go. Father, help us with our problems today. Help us to trust you more, because so many times we don't trust you. Help us to trust you. Help us to remember just how much you love us. Father, I ask you to speak through us on the radio program today, to bring a message of hope, to bring a message of inspiration coming from you. Help me get out of the way so your message can go forth from my lips. And we ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to this message. Of course, we ask you to protect all those in the path of Hurricane Irma. We ask you to let the hurricane blow out to sea. We know you can do that. We ask you to do that. We also ask you to continue to be with our friends in the Houston area who are still dealing with Hurricane Harvey, the remnants of Hurricane Harvey and the flooding that resulted. And we lift up all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an end to abortion in the world. We pray for world peace. And Father, we ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've got an outstanding show for you today on the program. Since it is Thursday, we do our pro-life segment each Thursday. Father Frank Pavone will be here to talk about the upcoming National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. Father Pavone is actually going to be in the Philadelphia area on Saturday. We're going to talk to him about that. Also on the program, Mary Lou Rosine will be here. She's going to talk about her new book for our Sunday visitor, The Three Things Divorced Catholics Need to Know. I think it's such an important topic because there's so much confusion, even in the Catholic world, about divorced individuals. What does it mean? What does the church teach? Well, we're going to talk to Mary Lou about that right now. By my side, the one, the only, Dave Parker. Hey, brother.
Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
Dave, I'm doing well. You know, I was inspired at the beginning of the show to talk a little bit about the news, the hurricane. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, Dave, isn't it, to flip on the news and to instantly go into a panicked state because of what you're hearing.
Yeah, it is. And then, right? Oh my goodness, and everything goes negative. Like, oh, and the worries come. And yes, yeah. But I thought your opening prayer was and statement was very good, very apt. Yeah, I mean, let's give it to God. Let God take care of it. And bad things do happen, but we just have to have faith that He will see us through and see those in Irma's way. That's why we do preparation work. They do preparation work. They've got
right.
The warnings, but it is what it is. But God can do anything.
But the other thing is, what can you do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's easy to get whipped up by the news. But there are things and actions we can each do, whether it be donating food, mm-hmm. helping in areas when there is catastrophe, yes. helping to rebuild. There's
financial donation. If
financial donation,
we can do that within our means.
You know, so there's a lot of things. The other, there's always a flip side, which is how do we live our faith and do it within all the things going on in our lives. There are things we do control.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Frank, that's a good point. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I want to talk about in the gospel today. That's exactly the point that I want to make. So we'll do that in a few minutes. But Frank, another thing, following up on your point, this is so true. So many times people will question, well, how could God allow these disasters to occur? But I was doing a national radio interview yesterday. One of the points that I brought up was, look at the good that's happening. I mean, I understand that there's devastation, but there is so much good taking place right now in the Houston area. People coming together, putting their lives on the line to help one another. I mean, God can always bring good out of any evil, can he?
Exactly. And one of the things is we are a divided world right now. And we've talked about this yesterday. We talk about it all the time. We are. But this is a way that you're seeing people that may have had different views on the world coming together for a common cause. So, there are ways that we can do it. And there are good things that can come out of the most horrible circumstances.
Absolutely.
That's right. There are no political divisions when there's a disaster happening, right? I mean, somebody doesn't say helping somebody out of a flooded out house. Well, let me ask, are you a Democrat or a Republican first,
exactly,
right? They're just saying, you need help, let me help you. I mean, that's what we're seeing. So, again, I can't speak for God, but bad things happen. It's always been the case, but it's amazing to watch the good that's taking place, especially down there, and we're going to see it in Florida and all those areas, I'm sure, that are going to be affected by the upcoming hurricane as well.
Gary, when it comes down to life or death, I mean, literally, all that political stuff goes out, and we're human, and we have to help other human beings, whether we agree or not. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is saving lives. And helping get out of harm's way. So
exactly right. And by the way, Father Frank Pavone, before we went on the air, we got a different phone number for Father Frank. He at least he was scheduled to be in Florida for today's interview. I'm not sure if he's still there, but they gave me a different number because due to hurricane preparations, he had to be relocated. So, I mean, even he's in the midst of it. We definitely want to be praying for these individuals. That is a scary hurricane that's headed their way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, with that in mind, let's take a look at the before I do the gospel, I just briefly want to do the weather forecast. The gospel is really good today. Today's weather forecast, 59 degrees at the Philadelphia International Airport under cloudy skies. Today, chance of sprinkles after 2 p.m., high near 75. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 57. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 74. At the moment in Kennett Square, it's 56. Fort Washington, 52. And in Morristown, New Jersey, it is 60 degrees. Let me look at the gospel now. And guys, I want to get you to weigh in on this briefly because it touches on what Frank just mentioned. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, Jesus asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and they filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus. And he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those there with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. Now here we see an example, guys, of fishermen doing their best, but doing it on their own. You know, and I think that's the lesson that we could all take from this gospel today. Look what happens when they're trying to do it on their own. They caught nothing. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them, and he tells them what to do. He gives them some advice. They turn to him. They accept his advice. They're still doing something, but because they're doing it with him by their side, look at the difference. Mm-hmm. And like Frank said, yeah, we're all called to do something. Instead of just complaining about one thing or another, let's go do something. But let's remember to ask the Lord's help. When he's by our side, when he's helping us, our efforts will be a lot more productive. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you agree?
I agree.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right? But we still have to do something. We can't sit around and wait. And it drives me crazy. I hear this a lot. Oh, my priest, he doesn't speak enough about abortion. The bishop, he needs to do more. Oh, look at this guy. Look at that person. Now, what are you doing? Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
We are all called to evangelize, to share the word of God among one another. I can't control anybody else, but I can control myself. So I have to get busy.
Mm-hmm. And it's how we, you know, as you said, you know, like, hey, why don't we, instead of complaining, do something? But so often people sit back and you let the priest, let the deacon
right.
do it, you know. But no, we have to be engaged. That's all part of the evangelization. The laity is huge in the Catholic Church. We have to get more proactive.
I talked about at the end of the show yesterday. It's not up to the bishop. It's not up to the pope. It's up to us. And
yeah,
you know, otherwise,
ultimately.
If you're going to point fingers at everybody else, then I suggest you look in the mirror.
Yeah. And well, that, you know what they say, you know, when you point your finger, how many are pointing back at you, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Right.
It's an old saying, yes.
It's a good saying, though, but that's so true,
yeah,
Dave.
Like, whoa, look at me. What am I
because
doing?
Because, you know? Unfortunately, I think we spend, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, too, we spend too much time criticizing what other people should be doing, and that's time wasted that I could be using to do something,
mm-hmm.
right? To say something, to be kind to one another. We're going to be talking about social media tomorrow on the program and representing Christ when we post on Facebook. How's that for an idea?
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, Father Frank Pavone will join us to talk about the National Remembrance, Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Frederick Ozanam. Born in France in 1813, Frederick Ozanam could have pursued a career as a lawyer, a literary scholar, or a teacher. Instead, at age 20, he founded a religious association of laypersons devoted to serving the poor. Such an organization was badly needed in and around Paris, where poverty thrived in the early stages of the Industrial Revolution. Soon, the St. Vincent de Paul Society had spread throughout Europe. Frederick was not content with simply serving the poor. He started a newspaper dedicated to securing justice for the poor and the working classes. His fellow Catholics, however, did not always appreciate the challenging tone of his writings. In 1853, Frederick died, leaving behind his wife and daughter. At his funeral, he was described as one of those privileged creatures who came direct from the hand of God, in whom God joins tenderness to genius to enkindle the world. Frederick Ozanam was beatified by Pope John Paul II at the Paris World Youth Day celebration in 1997. Today, the St. Vincent de Paul Society has close to 1 million members in more than 130 countries. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I knew all the answers
life should go. And when I used to say my prayers, I would tell God so. It seemed He wasn't listening. I thought He didn't care. But looking back, it's plain to see He was always there. I prayed for strength, and I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage, and I got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. I'm not saying that it's easy, that it doesn't hurt, but nothing seems to go my way, nothing seems to work. But these days I'm getting better at going with the flow, accepting that sometimes the answer to a prayer is no. I prayed for strength, and I got strong. I prayed for courage, and I got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart brought me to my knees. I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. Every time I've had a door slammed in my face, a better one was opened in its place. I prayed for strength, and I got pain that made me strong. I prayed for courage, but I got fear to overcome. When I prayed for faith, my empty heart to my knees. Oh, I don't always get what I want, I get what I need. No, I seldom get what I want, but I get what I need.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. How is everyone? Thank you.
So that was Colin Ray. And
yes.
So, you know, we on the line today, we have Frank Pavone is joining us. And Frank is, you know, has a, this weekend, there mm-hmm. is across the country a special event. And I think it's best to have Frank talk about that.
Yeah, Father Frank. Yes,
exactly. And so...
Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you?
Oh, my goodness.
This
so
is Dave.
Great. It's so good to be with all of you.
Absolutely.
It's great to be with, have you with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend?
You know, over the years, as I've been doing full-time pro-life work across the United States, I've come into situations where we have either found or have been presented with the bodies of aborted children. What happens sometimes is that they're literally found in dumpsters, or they are brought to pathology labs, and sometimes some of these pathologists, you know, with a conscience, they'll come to us and say, this baby should be buried. And so across the United States, there are about 50 places where aborted babies are buried. Some of these graves have thousands of bodies in them. Mm-hmm. And about 6 years ago, you know, I mean, after I had conducted a number of these funerals and I'd seen the power of people going to visit these graves, I came up with the idea, and I consulted a number of my colleagues in pro-life leadership, that we should have a day where we have simultaneous prayer services at these grave sites across the country to raise awareness that abortion is not an abstract issue. it's about people dying. It's about babies being killed, and some of them being buried. And it's about the need to remember them so that we can commit ourselves to protect the ones who are still in danger. So we began, and this Saturday will be the fifth annual National Day of Remembrance. There is a website where people can find where these grave sites are and where the services will be. It's abortionmemorials.com, abortionmemorials.com. So that's what's going on, and it's a beautiful call to healing, among the other themes connected with the event, a beautiful call for healing from the wounds of abortion and recommitment to fighting it and ending it.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Gary just joined us. So, Gary, you know, you've been involved in the abortion movement for years.
Yes. Frank, sorry about that little technical glitch. Father Pavone, glad to have you with us on the show. So glad to see what you're doing. And, Father, you know, it's for many years I didn't understand the importance of getting involved in the pro-life movement until I joined a group of people praying outside of an abortion clinic. It was unbelievable. You know, it's a peaceful thing, and I would encourage anybody who is on the fence about getting involved to get involved, because our prayers and our witness, wouldn't you say, Father, are very much needed?
Well, they're needed because when we do go out there in this prayerful and peaceful way, people do pay attention. They do wake up, including those going into these facilities to have their babies killed. They're not going in there because of freedom of choice. They're going because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. But when they see us outside, they realize maybe I do have a choice, and they often take our help.
Mm. Father, one of the things I wanted to ask you before, you know, we were talking obviously about the National Day of Remembrance, very important thing, and the fact that you were coming to town. But if you could, maybe not everybody listening is familiar with the work that you do at Priests for Life. So could you explain just a little bit more about your ministry, what it is that you at Priests for Life do to help the unborn?
Well, thank you. Yes, we do educational work. First of all, we give presentations in churches. What really is at the core of our mission is the conviction that if the churches are active in teaching about this, preaching about it, and mobilizing their people to save lives, that we really can bring an end to abortion. And so we work with the clergy and the laity, mobilize and activate churches, give them resources and ideas. We're also a force for unity in the movement. We bring leaders together, help them to strategize and plan, give them retreats, and we're just a presence to the whole pro-life movement to give people that encouragement and that spiritual rootedness that they need to fight an evil like this. We think about the anti-slavery movement, the civil rights movement. These were rooted in the churches. People were rooted in their spirituality to confront these terrible evils. Same is true with fighting abortion. And so we teach and we nurture what we call a pro-life spirituality. I mean, it's a cause. Yes, it is a political movement, and we're very involved in that too. But it is a spirituality at its core. And that is where we help to invigorate the entire movement. So Priests for Life is not just for priests. It's for anyone who wants to help bring an end to the killing of these children.
And if anyone wants to find out more about your work, the best place is the website priestsforlife.org. Is that correct?
Priestsforlife.org, exactly. Yeah, and we welcome to hear from anybody.
Wonderful. Now, Father, let's get back quickly to this this National Day of Remembrance. Now, obviously, you are coming to the Philadelphia area. You are leading a service in Philadelphia. But the national concept, what's going on around the country on this day, September the 9th?
Yes, we will have these simultaneous services, and they will be various leaders like myself speaking at different grave sites. All of this will be on Saturday, different times of the day. Some of the grave sites that are particularly noteworthy, there's one in Los Angeles that has the, and I have spoken there a number of the previous days of remembrance, it has the bodies of 16,500 babies. And
whoa,
these were found back in the 1980s in a gigantic waste container. And then there was a legal battle that ensued as to whether or not they should even be buried, because, you know, you do a burial rites, and obviously you're acknowledging the humanity of these children, and abortion supporters don't want that to happen. So there will be nationally, there will be many of these services. Now, also, I should point out, some of these services will take place at the site of memorial stones where there are not necessarily babies buried, but there are monuments set up, a number of, quite a few churches, actually, and some cemeteries. Over the years, through the Knights of Columbus, for example, there's been an effort to put up these memorial stones in memory, in honor of the unborn and of their families. So some of these, a lot of these services will be at those memorial markers. And I encourage people, if you have one in your church, it's not too late to organize something very simple. The pastor can invite people to come after Mass over to the memorial stone and just say a decade of the rosary or have a little prayer for the unborn. Very, very simple. It could be just 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But to do that in solidarity with the folks around the country that are doing this weekend, again, it helps awaken people, and it helps encourage those who need healing. One of the things we do at Priests for Life is we oversee Rachel's Vineyard and Silent No More. These are the largest healing ministries for those that have had abortions, and that's a big part of what we're doing this weekend.
Yeah, and for more information, you can visit abortionmemorials.com to see around the country. If you're listening outside of the Philadelphia area, you can see where these different services will be taking place. So, Father, we have about 2 minutes left. Just quickly, I want to remind anybody listening that you will be at the Laurel Hill Cemetery.
Yes.
3822 Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia, the gravesite of 47 aborted babies, correct?
And these were babies who were killed by Kermit Gosnell, and I'm sure many of our listeners recall the horrible case of Gosnell, who's now serving life in prison for his not only of killing these babies even outside the womb, but the death of a mom also who went to him for an abortion. So we'll remember that Gosnell case also, and again call people to appropriate involvement, as you were saying a few moments ago. Involvement in this greatest human rights cause of our day, because without life, we don't have any other right. We have to defend it.
That is so true. And that's this Saturday, September the 9th at 10 a.m. Father, if somebody wants to participate, no need to register. They just show up.
That's exactly right. They just show up, come to the Laurel Hill Cemetery. We'll have a beautiful, memorable service.
Excellent. Father, thank you so much for doing that. Before you go, would you leave us with your blessing?
Well, may the Lord fill you with his Holy Spirit, the advocate, and make you advocates for your youngest and most helpless brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. And may he bless and protect you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Frank Pavone, thank you so much for joining us once again on Spirit in the Morning. I'm so grateful.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for what you do.
All right, you are welcome. That's Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life. And remember, if you're thinking about this, if you're not sure, make it a point to do it. You know, it's so many times we put off things, and yet the Holy Spirit is urging us to do these things, to go and remember, to go and stand up for life. So why don't you do that this Saturday at the Laurel Hill Cemetery on Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia, 10 a.m., Father Frank Pavone will be leading a service on the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. I will have all the details linked at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, Mary Lou Rosine, the three things divorced Catholics need to know. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Authorities say at least one person has died in the northeast Caribbean island of Anguilla, raising the death toll of Hurricane Irma to at least 10 as the Category 5 storm roars through that region. The Caribbean Disaster Management Agency reported the death early today and said 90% of roads in Anguilla are impassable. Pope Francis has arrived in Colombia for a 5-day visit in which he hopes to give an extra boost to the country's peace process and encourage reconciliation after a decades-long guerrilla conflict. The Holy Father arrived on a flight from Rome at Bogota's military air base. He was greeted by President Juan Manuel Santos and Colombia's National Symphonic Orchestra, playing classics by Vivaldi and Beethoven, as well as traditional Colombian music. And the son of a Colombian politician born in captivity after she was kidnapped by the nation's largest rebel group was also present for the reception. Clara Rojas' son, Emmanuel, gave a white dove sculpture to Pope Francis as a symbol of peace. Rojas was kidnapped by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia in 2002 while traveling with a presidential candidate. Her son, Emmanuel, was born in 2004 while she was still being held in the jungle. He was taken away from her while still a baby. Rojas did not see her son again until 2008, when he was 3 years old. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future presents Because of Gracia, a movie produced by author, activist, and human rights worker Jason Jones. Because of Gracia was nominated for 3 International Christian Awards for the amazing story of 2 high school couples in the pursuit of truth. The Allentown AMC 16 Theater will help bring the gospel to the mainstream media. Opening September 15th. Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future are in need of donations and sponsors to bus children from the local high schools to attend the film. Please contact Mike Israel or Anna Ataya at 484-330-6380. Again, that is 484-330-6380. Take a moment and visit prolifefuture.org. Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Future, young adult creating a culture of life.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. For 24 years, David Link was dean of Notre Dame's law school, imparting a love for the law to more than 4,000 students. As his career was winding down, he followed the suggestion of his wife Barbara and began teaching prisoners the fine points of the law. To his amazement, he loved the work, impressed by his students' eagerness to learn. When Barbara died in 2003, David threw himself even more into his volunteer work with prisoners. Among those impressed was Bishop Dale Melchek of Gary, Indiana, who invited him to become a priest. After seminary studies, Father Link was ordained and is now in charge of prison ministry. He said, "I need to bring my prisoners hope and knowledge of eternal life, and I love that." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Fear is a current, we all get caught in, and in its world. you'll carry me.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Carry Me by Audrey Assad. Keep that in mind today. Even though you might have a cross to carry, the Lord will be with you. He will carry you as you carry your cross. I'm not kidding. Try that out. Remember that. We are joined now by Mary Lou Rosine. She's a Catholic author, a motivational speaker, and a catechist. Her second book, published with our Sunday visitor, is The Three Things Divorced Catholics Need to Know, and she is here today to let us know what divorced Catholics need to know. Mary Lou, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's nice to talk to you.
Finally, after all these years, we get to speak. Isn't this great?
It's wonderful.
We followed each other online. I'm a big fan of your work, as you know. And I'm so glad you wrote this book, because there is so much confusion about divorce, especially among Catholics. Let me ask you the obvious question. What motivated you to write it?
A couple things. I was listening to your program earlier, and I was thinking that it's really all about this reading today, about casting a net and being brave enough to go out there. When I was a young woman, I went through my own divorce experience. And as an RCIA coordinator and somebody who works a lot in Christ Life and all these different adult catechesis programs as well as youth ministry, I come across a lot of times people who've been so injured and wounded by divorce, they don't understand what the church really teaches about it. And I want to help move those people from that woundedness to healing and hope and, you know, bringing them back in full communion with the church. And there was just so much misunderstanding, and I found myself explaining it over and over again in RCA especially. And I thought, this is kind of silly to keep saying these same things over and over again. I just need to write them down. So that's what I did.
And it's a very nice, concise format. It's a relatively small book, 48 pages. I highly recommend this. I'm going to make sure I put a link at spiritinthemorning.com. Briefly, Mary Lou, what does the church teach about divorce?
Well, you know, that's kind of a loaded question, because if you go back to the Gospels, all the Synoptic Gospels talk about, you know, that story where Jesus says divorce is really not supposed to happen. And honestly, that is where our hearts are supposed to be. We are supposed to enter into marriage, you know, freely, faithfully, open to life, and with the idea of permanence. But nobody tells you when you're growing up, one person can walk away. Things happen. Divorce does happen in our culture and in our society. So the church kind of looks at it differently, and this is one of the misconceptions that people need to understand. When the church encourages you to apply for an annulment, they are not, that's not a Catholic divorce. They're not saying that your marriage didn't legally exist. They're not saying you weren't terribly wounded by this. They're saying, let's look back at those four elements of a valid Catholic marriage, again, that it was entered into freely, faithfully, open to life, and with an idea of permanence. Let's look at the circumstances of those two people when they entered into this union, and let's see if it was valid or not. Maybe they didn't have one of those components. Maybe they didn't have a full understanding of what they were saying yes to. And that's where the church is. So the church wants to, I know from my own experience, Gary, that when I had to sit down and do my annulment paperwork, it was very painful. It was very healing. I was able to really kind of deconstruct what went wrong and where my heart was, where my ex-spouse's heart was when we got married, and the mistakes that we made entering into marriage. And if I can just add, on the flip side of this, I'm also a pre-cana instructor, and I feel like we need to do a way better job at explaining the elements to people as they enter into marriage so that we will have more valid union.
I agree. I agree. That is so much. I know, going through pre-cana myself, there were so many things that I wasn't told. My wife and I weren't told. So I totally agree with that. Mary Lou, briefly, I want to ask a question about the idea of the sacraments, because this comes up sometimes. There is a misconception out there that if a Catholic person is divorced, they cannot receive the sacraments. Not true, correct?
Not true. It really depends on their particular circumstance, Gary. And I think one of the biggest things I want to emphasize with this book is please sit down. If you're in this circumstance, you know, if you are divorced, remarried, you know, outside of the church, sit down right with your priest and find out in your particular circumstance where everything goes. One of my most moving experiences was working with a woman who was divorced, not remarried, not in any relationship. She didn't know she could go to confession, go to church, receive the Eucharist, and I took her to church with me, and she cried. She spent the entire Mass crying. She had not been back to Mass since her divorce. She didn't feel there was a place for her at church. She didn't know that as long as she wasn't in a regular situation or in a relationship, that as long as she was in a state of grace, that's where it comes back to for all of us. You need to be in a state of grace to receive communion. So, you know, as long as she was in that state of grace, that she was able to receive the Eucharist especially. And she was just so moved by that experience, knowing that she could go back. And she'd felt so separated for so long.
Right.
We shouldn't have to lose our church community just because we find ourselves in a horrible circumstance. And having said that, the church, I think, is working on this now, and there's some really good people, Lisa Duffy, Rose Sweet, out there who are helping educate parishes. Mm-hmm. But we as parishes, as a church, we need to be reaching out to divorced persons more and helping include them in the things that they can be included in. So start with a conversation with the priest.
Totally agree. That's a great answer. And just to make sure that it's clear to anybody listening, being divorced is not an impediment to receiving the sacraments. However, being divorced and remarried outside of the church, that puts one outside of the state of grace, which is an impediment. Am I correct?
You are correct. And there could be other things, too. I mean, if you're living with somebody.
Okay.
And, you know, the bottom line, Gary, is that we all find ourselves outside of a state of grace sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We should all be having those conversations with our priests and go into confession, divorced, married, single, whatever.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Let's talk while we still have some time about the annulment process. We do hear, as you mentioned earlier, we hear from time to time, an annulment, that's just a Catholic divorce. You need to have a lot of money to get an annulment, or you need to know somebody. Quickly, what's the truth about an annulment?
Okay, well, a couple things really quickly. It has been made a much clearer and concise process. I have sat in on the training in our diocese, and they've moved the forms that we use to a much simpler form, just to kind of have those initial conversations a little bit more easily. Mm-hmm. The cost, Pope Francis came out and said it shouldn't cost anybody anything, and most dioceses have gotten rid of the cost or made it very minimal, and cost should never be an issue. If you cannot afford whatever it is, the paperwork, the copying, whatever, you need to, again, talk to your priest, talk to your tribunal if you need to in your particular diocese. And they've shortened the process so that if your circumstances, I'll give you a real quick, for instance, I have a woman, she was married very early, only 3 months. It's very clear from hearing her story that there was no, it wasn't a valid union. I mean, she got married to somebody who was breaking up with her constantly. There was no idea of permanence. She thought it would fix him to marry him. That kind of annulment may go very, very quickly because it's not going to take a long time to process that information and recognize that there was an issue of validity from the very beginning. Others, we've got people in our diocese, you know, that have been married in irregular situations repeatedly, 2-3 marriages that they've never had annulled. Those ones, that's going to take a little time. But you can use that time to increase your spirituality, draw closer to God, work on yourself. Don't let that annulment waiting time be wasted time. It's a time just like before you get married when you use that time of anticipation to be with your spouse. I would encourage anybody going through the annulment process to use that time as a time of sweet anticipation to when they can be reunited with their church.
That's great advice. I think, you know, what I'm hearing, the common message I'm hearing, the common theme from everything you're saying is, according to at least what I'm hearing, is that if you are in this situation, if you are divorced and you are Catholic, go talk to your priest about it,
Amen.
Whether it's an annulment, right? I mean, just find out, right?
Yeah.
Because it's worth it in the end.
Right. Don't just assume you know what the answers are. Go talk to your priest. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. And read this book, The Three Things Divorced Catholics Need to Know. Mary Lou, where is the best place? If somebody wants to pick up the book or maybe bring you out to speak to their parish, where is the best place to go?
They can contact me and get links to the book on my website, which is CatholicFamilyBootCamp.com, or if you want to go directly to the OSB website. I do have four books altogether. Two of them were not with OSB. As you know, Gary, because Gary wrote the foreword to one of my
books. I know. I'm so excited.
I know. Me too. So, yes, if you just go to my website, you'll find links to everything. CatholicFamilyBootCamp.com.
And I will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Mary Lou, it's great to have you on the show for the first time. This won't be the last. I want to have you on again. Would you come on again someday?
Absolutely, Gary. Thank you so much. It's so nice to finally connect with you.
Likewise. Thank you for all the work that you do. Mary Lou Rosine, the three things divorced Catholics need to know from our Sunday visitor. Check it out at CatholicFamilyBootCamp.com. I'll have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com as well. When we come back, we are going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today, for the day today. It's one, if you are somebody who tends to be afraid, if you are somebody who tends to not want to take that first step, maybe you have a big decision in your life, maybe you have some sort of a challenge, and you're too afraid to make a move thinking, oh no, what if I do the wrong thing? It's all going to fall apart, and it'll be the rest of my life will be ruined. If you're somebody that thinks like that, I know you're going to appreciate the Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. So why don't you stay tuned? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Love is what we come here for. This is why.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 5, after preaching to the people from the boat, Jesus had Peter set out to the deeper waters for a catch. Peter obeyed, despite having caught nothing all night. When they complied, they caught so much fish that both boats were on the verge of sinking. This even though fish are more likely to bite at night. Clearly, more was happening than the purely natural. And so Peter no longer addresses Jesus as Master, but as Lord. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus responds, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. With that they brought their boats to land, left everything, and followed him. So Peter followed him by acknowledging his sinfulness and submitting to him. The others followed suit. It is always this way. To become his follower is to acknowledge one's sinfulness and to humbly submit oneself to him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. I will rise. day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, you are worthy, you are worthy, worthy is the Lamb. I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, I will rise.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us today. All right, I mentioned before the break, if you are afraid to take that next step, if you are afraid, make a move that you think God might be asking you to make, well, this Be Not Afraid Bible verse is directed to you. It comes from Joshua 3:13. When the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the ark of the Lord of the whole earth, touch the waters of the Jordan, it will cease to flow. The water flowing down from upstream will halt in a single heap. Here's what's happening here. Joshua is leading the Israelites into the promised land, and what they have to do is cross the Jordan River. But the river is flowing. So the Lord said, the group of priests who are leading the way for the Israelites, they need to step into the water. Once they do that, then the river will stop flowing. It didn't stop flowing until when? Until they stepped into the water. This is the way it works, and it's very scary sometimes. I know that. Sometimes the Lord waits for you to make the first move. You're praying for something to happen. I think I should take this new job, but I'm afraid. Maybe I won't make as much money, but I feel this is God, what God wants me to do. What do? He wants you to go for it. You know, after discerning a decision, it's time for you to make a move. And that's when you'll see God work in your life. So that's the encouragement for you today. If you're struggling with something like that, take the first step. And you can guarantee that the Lord will be there for you. All right, we have some programming changes here at Holy Spirit Radio. Frank Eliason, you want to fill us in on those?
Well, yeah, the Pope is in Colombia. So we're going to have several events from Colombia starting tomorrow, I believe, if I remember correctly, 10 o'clock tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning. We will have a mass, 2.5 hours or so, similar for Saturday. And then on Sunday at 5 p.m., there will be a mass out of Medellin. So there is a multiple masses going on, through, and it will be the Pope at each of those. The other thing we have going on is the EWTN Family Conference will be broadcast from 1 to 4 on Saturday. Mm. So programming for the next 3 days is a little different than usual, but should be a great chance to hear Pope Francis and, you know, also connect with the EWTN family. So a multitude of things going on.
Yeah, the family thing is up in Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yes. So a lot going on the network.
That is correct. So a lot of things happening, and, you know, it's what we strive to do is bring, you know, the Pope to you when,
exactly.
when we
that's
can.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So that's what we do.
That's good exactly opportunity. What we do. Yeah.
Sounds good. Hey, guys, tomorrow on the show, Deacon Greg Kandra will be joining us. Now, Frank and Dave, listen to this. He's going to be talking about a post that he made on Facebook the other day. And here's what it is. Deacon Greg posted, "Something we Catholic Christians need to ask ourselves. When we engage on social media, are we showing others the face of Christ? Are we attracting people to Jesus and his church or repelling them? What we are choosing to say, what are we choosing to say about what it means to be Catholic? The world is watching. What are we showing?" That post got so much feedback on his Facebook page, good and bad, that I thought it's time. Deacon Greg's going to be a regular guest on the show each month from now on. I thought it's great to address that. Great point, Frank. That's what you said yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we have to think about our actions. And, you know, and I don't think it's intentional. I think it's getting into this mix of what others are doing or sometimes how we read what someone else says. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're attacking me, so I must attack them.
Yeah.
They may not be attacking
me. Our defenses go up. And I must go back at them.
That's right. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle that we as Catholics need to do something about it, and it starts with us, each individual, and what we do or say.
That's right. So Deacon Greg's going to be talking about that tomorrow. Also on the program, Dan Tarrant. Dan is he's a teacher at Archbishop Wood High School. He has started a very popular ministry called Re-Engaged Ministries. He is reaching out to Catholics who have become disengaged. Really good. Everybody keeps telling me I need to reach out to Dan. I'm hearing this from so many different directions. I finally connected with him. He is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about the work that he's doing. You need to listen to what he has to say.
Well, he's definitely going to be great because he's at my alma mater.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know.
Assuming he's not from Ryan, he's perfect.
Ooh.
Oh, well, there we go. You know,
talking about being an example, Frank.
Yeah, exactly.
That was all a jest, folks.
Hey, Parker. Yes. He has been so nice to me all show. The whole show.
Yeah.
And there, right before we go off the air, when I don't have time to rebut or anything, he comes at me. Right?
Maybe tomorrow.
That's right.
Think of your rebuttal overnight, okay?
We'll take this up again tomorrow. But anyway, thank you for listening to us today on Spirit in the Morning. It's always great to be with you. Remember, check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com. Also, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. He really is. Make sure you say hi. On behalf of Frank Elias and Dave Parker, this is Gary Zimak saying God bless. Thanks for listening.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.